Boker Tov Shalom. This is Radio Shalom. And today we're actually going to have a very special program. We've got a special guest. We're going to talk about the special relationship between Maori to the Jewish people in New Zealand and Israel. But first, just want to give you a little bit of background. The relationship between Maori leaders and the Jewish community were always steady, positive, and strong. Amir Gissen, a one-time charge of affairs at the Israeli embassy in Wellington, says one of the main reasons for this is because from both sides, Maori and Jewish, it's obvious that we share common beliefs and history. Ours is a close relationship. Friendship. The first known link between Maori and Jew made by English colonialist Samuel Marsden also had an Israeli theme. Marsden declared in 1819 that the Maori had, in fact, evolved from one of the lost tribes of Israel. That attitude actually influenced a common conception of God. Other missionaries drew up a list of 38 near-identical religious attitudes between Old Testament Jew and Maori, ranging from customs of burial and menstruation to conducting warfare. So, as far as I'm aware, when I did my own research, I remember some prophets like Ruach Kinana, Tikuti, and there were other people who did claim the relation to the lost tribes of Israel. And it's quite interesting to know that in the early 1800s or mid-1800s, where anti-Semitism was really strong in the rest of the world, and actually to be called Jew, it wasn't politically correct, I'll say that, I'll put it this way. You can get killed from being a Jew. And this time, it wasn't easy to be Jew. We had a lot of difficulties in this time. And in that particular time, when Maori are in New Zealand under the English control, they choose actually to identify with the Israelite. And I find it really interesting. Why will they do this? Why will they take that risk? Why will they want to belong and be part of a nation that's been chased? So there are a few historians actually who wrote about it, and two of them were actually actually New Zealanders, and the Gluckman family, I think, and they wrote about the relation and the affiliation with the lost tribes of Israel. But now I'm going to go and talk about the special relationship that Pacific Pearls, an organization, has with Israel, and with a very special lady. Her name is Stephanie Harawira. Kia ora and shalom. Briefly, she's a 51-year-old mother, wife, grandmother, community leader, justice of peace, marriage celebrant, events organized, movement leader, iwi executive, and a strong woman dedicated to fulfilling the call on God on her life. That's quite a lot for one woman who's 51 years old only.
We only live once.
So you better do it all. And, yeah, I'm looking at your whakapapa, and I can see that you started with Ko te atua te waka.
Yes. God is my waka.
God is your waka. And you know, you wrote, I mean, I'm just quoting something that you wrote about yourself from your bio. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord.
Yes.
You believe in that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every day I start with the Father. Every day.
Can you tell me a bit about yourself?
Well, I'm married to a beautiful man called Tai Harawira. We have 11 children, 5 between us and the marriage. We've been living in West Auckland for the last probably 15 years, and been working in the working in the community probably the last 20 years, and we're quite outside the box, so we don't kind of fit inside the box. So when we meet and deal with people, usually it's a person by person thing that happens. You know, sometimes justice walks into my door. Sometimes it's advocacy. Sometimes it's people in need of homes. Sometimes it's people who are fighting the SIP system. So we just make ourselves available to our people, and that can lead us anywhere.
In what way you can help your people?
Sometimes we're a doorway. Sometimes if someone walks in my door, here's a good example. I had a woman ring me, and she's had her children, her grandchildren taken. The children were dealing with drugs and alcohol, so they had all the police involved. And so her need really was, one, support. Two was to navigate her through the court system. With regards, and also the SIP system, because once you're in SIPs, that's it. It becomes, you have to jump through a whole lot of hoops, and a lot of our people don't know how to do that. And so just talking with the different authorities, and the end result after about 6 months, so it took a 6 month walk with this woman, was to get her full custody of her child, of her grandson. And we got that. And then from there it went, well, they need a house, because before SIPs will release them, they'll need a place to stay. And the place we're staying at the moment wasn't good. So it went from advocacy with SIPs then to finding them a home, relocating them, and they're away running. It just depends what walks through our doors.
That's great. You know, there's someone to help you to go over all the, you know, to go over all these barriers of bureaucracy and how to handle with government, ministries, and, you know, paperwork. It's just not easy. But that's everywhere around the world. Unfortunately, that's the way it works.
Yeah, a lot of red tape. And I don't work well in red tape. You know, because sometimes you just got to get things done. And if you wait for the agencies to move, you could be waiting. So we just move. We go before we know. And then we know, and then we go first and then see what happens.
Yes. I understand you're the National Director of Pacific Pills. And this is an organization who made a public stance as strong supporters of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We are Maori for Israel. This is what you say.
Yes, Maori for Israel.
Exactly. So why is that? Why do you stand for Israel?
We've always had a love affair with Israel. For as long as I remember, when I married my husband, actually, I didn't really quite understand Israel until I married my husband. And we ran a organization called Ezekiel 33, Watchmen on the Wall for the House of Israel. And so my learning curve has been walking with this man who's so tuturu Israel. And I always thought he was a bit crazy. I never got involved too much. And it wasn't until about probably 10 years ago that I realised the injustices were very similar. See, I had to catch it in the spirit. I had to catch it in my heart first, okay? And because my focus had always been on my own land and my own community. So to look further abroad was probably bigger for me. But my husband would quietly speak and share and talk about the plight of Israel and what would be happening for the people. And for the land there. So I fell in love, really, with Israel, with the Israeli people. And so once we fall in love with you, that's it. You're our whānau. So, you know, and when we see our big sister getting a hiding over in the corner there, we'll come out and we'll stand with you. We'll come out in defence of that. So we quickly started getting very loud when we saw the media coming out against Israel and really wrong media too. And we just saw a real twisting of the media facts, and that even made us more determined, I think. When we saw the injustice rise, we actually dug our feet in and thought, no. And then we started to just get a little bit more louder.
How do you know? I mean, it's really difficult when you're a Kiwi and you live in New Zealand, you know, to think about another country, which is just so far away from us. You think that the media portrayed an unfair image of Israel, particularly in New Zealand as well. So what do you think you can do about it? How can we change it? And how do you really know that it's not right?
Well, at the end of the day, the facts are the facts. The historical fuck-a-papa facts to the land are the facts. You can't shift it. It's not just written in the Israeli facts. It's written into the world history books. So, number one, it's written. So, as far as, and when we look at what's happening in the media, and we talk worldwide media, okay, the rise against Israel, I've had lots of discussions, especially with Māori who aren't pro-Israel, by the way, pro-Palestinian. And so I've had all the arguments as to why I should stand and support them. You only have to look at the neighbours next door, the Palestinians, and have a look at what those guys are up to. They aren't your next door neighbours that Kyoto Gaza and all those boys try and make out. They try and make out that they're the victims, but actually they're the perpetrators. Not all of them, I'm not saying all of them are, but when you really compare apples with apples, you can see why Israel takes such a strong stance that they've got, you know, zero tolerance. It's the environment in which they live in. So when you have a little bit of understanding, it helps you to continue to support why they do what they do. Do I agree with everything Israel does? Yes. Yes, I do, actually.
Have you been to Israel?
No, my husband's been to Israel. I'm planning on going to Israel. I'm waiting. Because I've had six invitations to Israel in the last year. Come on, Stephanie, you got to come to Israel. But I don't want to go to Israel on a tourist. I'm just not a touristy person. Yes, I'd love to visit the Wailing Wall and to do all those great tourist things, but I'm more an Indigenous person. You know, I'd rather go stay with some Israelis and and go and sit in their communities and kind of move with the people. So,
and get the right picture of what's really going on. And
that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, talk to the people on the ground and then you'll get the real truth of what's going on. And look, I've looked at some of the the excursions going into Israel, and I've had a lot of people saying, we should be doing this and we should be going in with all these prophets. And I'm going, no, I'm not interested in doing that. I'm more interested to see the plight of the people, the things that they're having to deal with.
I agree.
I'm interested as to how it really is for them living there. You know, we only have to see the increase of the attacks on the Israelis just in the last couple of weeks. And so I'm more interested in that.
You know, I think that what people don't really realize, and this is unless you really lived in Israel, you can't just come as a tourist, as you're saying, and get the right picture. It's just not going to work. And you can't just come and see one side. You've got to see both sides. And I think this should be fair when you see so both sides. And then you can, yeah, then you can, you know, say your something about your opinion. Mm-hmm. But you need to see both sides and visit both sides. And I can say that as an Israeli citizen, when I used to live in Israel, I know the truth. I know because I can see that there is a great relationship between Arabs and Jews in Israel. The Arabs who lives in Israel, mm-hmm. A lot of Arabs are lawyers, doctors. A lot of them are actually wealthy, and they see Israel as a safe haven for the Arabs community.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't want to go tomorrow and live in Syria. They don't want to go and live in Egypt. They have none of this kind of inspiration is there. And so the media actually portrayed such a negative picture of what is really going on in Israel. So people don't know, for example, that a lot of the Bedouin soldiers, for example, I mean, a lot of the Bedouin citizens, they go and they serve in the Israeli army because they see it as their own country, a country they need to defend. And they do recognize the state of Israel. So what is happening is basically an there is an extreme group, I'll say, of politicians and terrorists who find their way to the media. And what we see is the extreme. We don't see the reality. Mm-hmm. And I do invite people like you, Stephanie, and other people in New Zealand to come and see Israel and see the truth in their own eyes, see what's really happening there.
Yeah, I truly believe that there needs to be a serious campaign to tip the media back so it's a more balanced projection. The way it's been going, and again, and I dare to say, you know, the BDS, it's all funded. Okay, they're a very intricate oiled machine. And I don't think a lot of people really understand the depths of that network.
Oh, not at all. And surprisingly, they don't even reflect the Palestinian interest. They don't work for the favor of the Palestinian citizen. They just don't.
That's
because
right.
if they want to close a factory in the settlement, they're actually going to cut a lot of the income of the Palestinians in Gaza Strip who lives on this income.
Yeah.
And do you know that the owners of these factories actually live in the settlements? And they have good relationship. No, nobody's going to know about it because BDS is more important.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, they are funded.
Yeah, well funded by the Arab nations.
Exactly.
And I think that needs to be talked more in the public arena. I think that when you look at who's actually behind the front, who's in the back end actually of pushing it. So what we see out the front is not always what's going on in the back. And who's actually funding that? I have my own theories in that. You know, when you do a little bit of digging, you'll see that the Arab money is sitting right through that, those organisations, and including the UN. You can see the political plays that are happening. And I think that those are conversations that need to be had out in the public arena. I'm a great believer, you know, put light into those dark places and show it for what it is.
Exactly. I believe the same way. We need to show the truth. And I do invite people to come and visit Israel to see the truth by their own eyes, to take pictures, to do documentaries, and put it there on the social media. This is the way to go. This is the way we can communicate. We can't let politicians and wealthy people to determine what is going to be our political opinion.
That's
it's just
right.
not right. We can't let the mainstream media to control our thought this way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I see it. And yeah, now just want to ask you something about your organization. What's your future plans for the Maori community within your organization of Pacific Pearls?
So Pacific Pearls is a prophetic women's Christian movement. And again, we didn't plan it. It kind of evolved. And if you know anything about Maoris, we don't move singly. We move as collectives, as hapu and iwi. So,
yeah.
So it quickly took off. And we're now in 26 regions and growing around the island, around the country. And in each region, each area has their own mana and their own rangatiratanga. So when we go into other regions, we go under their mana and their authority in that area. And our role is really to work with them. It's a Christian organisation, so we believe it's a Holy Spirit movement. And when we go in there, you know, God just turns up and he does stuff. And he's, you know, he said he came to set the captives free. And so we're seeing people walk in dark, their ahua, we call it people call it aura, we call it ahua, coming in dark on the Friday. But on the Sunday, those things have moved and it's lighter, you know, they're lighter in the eyes, lighter in their being. And we see God move over that weekend. But as we've been going out around the nation, I went to the leadership and I says, I believe we need to be proactive and we need to come out with a public stance. So now we're making a public stance. See, a lot of people say we're pro-Israel, we're Israel, that. Don't hear of them. You don't see them. You know, they're kind of in the background. Well, we decided we want to take a public stand. And what that meant was getting a little bit more visible And some people get a little bit shy when they become visible in the public arena. And as we made that stand, we started then saying we're Māori for Israel. And see, then we had a lot of Christians say, oh, hang on, we're all one in Christ. Why are you separating us? And I'm saying, actually, I'm not separating us. I'm saying that as a Māori movement, these Māoris support Israel. And we want to be able to speak into the different regions and have those conversations wherever we travel. Do we always get the good stuff, you know, the good conversations? No, we've had some good debates over why we're even bothering looking outside our own back door.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to realise there's people for places, and we've got a lot of people looking after our back doorstep. A lot of my family are all looking after Māori interests. And so if I'm placed over here from a Māori perspective looking at Israel, again, people for places. And so we've taken that stand, and we're saying that quite loud and clear in the churches as well, in the Pākehā churches, that we are Māori for Israel. We've been called separatists. We've been called a whole lot of things. And I'm quite determined in our stance, and we're unyielding and unmoving in that place.
Yeah, I could see you once, you know, as a public speaker, actually, when you were talking to a few women, and I could see that you're actually good at empowering women, you know. Yeah, you give them some strength, I think. You bring them to the light in a way. You're trying to find, you know, you're trying to help them to find the strength within themselves that exists there, but they just didn't touch it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you know, just nice to see it, the way you talk to women, and that was great. But when I'm thinking about Israel, Māori people, in what way, I want to ask you, do you think that Israel and Māori can work together?
Oh, look, I would love to see an exchange happen. Not quite sure what that would look like, but, you know, I'd love to see, you know, that whole Israelis come to us, we go to them, and that whole exchange happen. But I think, look, we've got a porphyry happening after the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, Māori for Israel. And that's Ngāpui Initiative. And when we first put the invitation to the Israeli ambassador, because we want to formally welcome them back to the land. And when we put that to the Israeli ambassador, he said yes. And originally it was a Ngāpui exchange of invitation back or welcome back. And the kaumātua rang me and said, Stephanie, I've got this happening and I really need your help. And then he literally passed it all over into my hands and gave it to me and says, can you organise it? Within 2 days, not only had we organised it, but it was no longer a Ngāpui exchange. It then became a nation-to-nation exchange. And we say sovereignty to sovereignty because Ngāpui have not yet settled their claims. And in fact, we have never ceded our sovereignty. So in a Ngāpui space and thinking, we are a sovereign nation. Now, a few Pākehās don't really want to hear that, but we haven't ceded our sovereignty, and it's actually been acknowledged in the tribunal courts that Ngāpui have never ceded their sovereignty. And until we go through our full claims process, that's always been our bottom line. And so when I went back to our kaumātua, I said to him, Matua, it's no longer a Ngāpui thing. It's going to be a Māori nation. I believe we have to open this up. And I believe that as we come together as a Māori nation to show our support, it's gonna send a message to Israel from a sovereignty nation that we're standing with them. And let me just say that's come with a bit of flack by doing that, but a little bit of flack's fine. You know, we've had lots of people say a lot of things about Māori, and we've learnt that in an election year, they normally come out bagging Māori. So for us to stand and say Māori for Israel, people see that as separatist, but we just go, kia ora. We just want to say we support them. And if you have a problem, it's your problem, not ours. So, yeah.
Okay, that's not an easy one.
Yeah, but
to support Israel and even in now in difficult time, it's not an easy thing to go and do it. So,
yeah, but we're not scared.
You're not scared. There's no fear in your heart.
No, actually, we're not, because it's a righteous fight. See, it's one thing to speak on something that that doesn't have any foundations, but you stand on right foundations when you take on the Israeli fight. Because of the truth, and the truth sets you free. And so it's about speaking the truth about Israel, about their link to the land, about their inheritance to that land, and about their rights to that land. So, you know, I can stand and I have no fear in having those conversations at all.
Yes, you know, I wouldn't want to talk too much about politics, but I would like to mention that I would love to see some project and ideas coming from the Maori community about a cooperation with Israel. If it's regarding, you know, like education or high tech or anything that can, you know, contribute and nurture both communities.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that can help a lot. Do you have any ideas?
Well, we're having a lot of conversations. See, this gathering of this Māori nation for Israel is all about having those types of conversations about what next with us. You know, do we just come out in the media and we're just, yay, pro-Israel, yay? Or how can we advance our relationship between ourselves? But the first thing, and if you've been in Māori circles, is we've got to have that conversation between ourselves. And so part of this...
So are you just like the Jews, you know, when, you know, we're saying that if there are two Jews debating and talking about something, there's at least 10 opinions, you know? So
very opinionated in Māori-dom.
Yes.
And let's talk about mandate. A lot of people come out and say they speak for Māori, but do they have the mandate to actually speak for Māori? And so those things have to be put into place, because I can be challenged between my own people saying, well, who are you to speak on behalf of us? Which is why the Pacific Pearls movements is very good, because we are in 26 regions from all different iwi and hapu. And so...
Can Pākehā join you?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you include them?
Absolutely. We do have Pākehā, and we have PIs with us as well. The only difference is it's Māori-led. That's it. And if anyone knows Māori kaupapa, our door's always open. It's never closed. It's never a closed waka. You are welcome to join us. The difference is we'll lead kia ora.
So in terms of the Māori community, what's your future plans for the Māori community? If you could make a change, what would you do?
If I could make a change anywhere, I think it would be in uniting us. I think that's probably the strongest place to start. I believe together we're unstoppable. And if we could get over our own political agendas and just come together as a Māori nation, which is part of what we're doing at the moment, you know, never despise the small beginnings. And I'm envisaging in 3 years' time. See, at the moment, Pearls has been going 4 years. We are gaining momentum. In 3 years' time in the next political rounds, who knows where that goes? I just think that together we're unstoppable. And sometimes we have to, and I've said this quite often in our different communities, sometimes you've got to wait for people to die. You know, that old... The old leadership that refuse to move, that have never budged, we have those within our own iwi. And sometimes, you know, I'm a great believer in that season needs to be over with some of those guys.
Well, we have a new world, a new order. So anyway, thank you very much, Stephanie. And it was a pleasure to meet you. And I do wish you good luck in your career.
Thank you.
So to our listeners, don't forget to listen to us again next Sunday. You can also listen to our conversation on planetaudio.org.nz/radioshalom. And we can't forget to thank Nature Bee for sponsoring us. Shalom ve'litraot.